That's it. I apologize for the make-believe welcome I apparently gave. Anyway, we're so glad you're here. Welcome to Wednesday night at Calvary Baptist Church. It's a beautiful night. And who has something to praise the Lord for? Yes, sir, Hassan.
Went out with my nephew.
Yeah.
Dinner.
That's awesome. Turner, you said?
Dinner.
Oh, that's awesome.
For dinner.
Oh, for dinner. I got you. Aunt Arlene?
Today was just beautiful. It wasn't
yes.
Hot. The wind was blowing. It's just a beautiful day.
I agree. It was especially beautiful because we cut about 7 or 8 yards, and I touched zero lawnmowers. Kevin touched a lot of lawnmowers. CJ touched zero. Those are happy days. They're very few and far between. Tansy, go ahead.
I get to go to camp on Sunday.
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I dug up 3 roots and replaced some boards on my deck, and I'm still walking.
That's nothing short of a miracle. I would say at your age, but that's rude. So we'll just say that's nothing short of a miracle. Go ahead, Aunt Catherine. Absolutely. Absolutely. Any prayer requests before we get started? Yes, sir.
Dentist appointment, June 9th.
June 9th, dentist appointment for Hassan.
My teeth out.
All of them?
Yep.
I've got a rusty pair of pliers in the truck. I bet we could save you some money.
Okay. Go
ahead, Aunt Arlene.
I'm joking. Yeah.
I have several unspoken requests.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Today, Sharon and I went to take Cassie to the doctor for her broken elbow.
Yes.
And he gave her 2 choices. One was to put a cast on it, and then she wouldn't have full movement. She'll have about 70 or 80% movement in her arm after it's healed.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, but he recommends surgery. But the surgery is a big surgery. They're going to put plates and screws and all kinds of stuff in there. And they still don't guarantee full movement.
I was going to say, it sounds a lot like a cast to me, but that's not my decision. That's
so
tough.
Just pray that she makes, I think she already decided what she's going to do, just to get the cast. So.
Understood. Yes, sir.
Justin Hales has a tumor in his esophagus.
Okay.
And they were going to do surgery. There were some deep cuts there, and they weren't able to do that. So they're going to reschedule and do it again.
Okay. Absolutely. For sure.
And then we have Nancy Farmer's son, Robert.
Okay.
And he's going into surgery. I don't know all the details there.
Okay.
And one more is Don Nettles is out tonight.
Okay.
Woo!
Yeah. A lot of people will say, oh, I wish I could have been there. And you go, I don't know if you mean it or not. He wishes he was here. I guarantee it. He didn't, as opposed to dealing with a kidney stone, for sure. Brother Ceylon. Yes, please pray for our church. Absolutely. I think I saw another hand back there. I don't want to miss anybody. All right, well, we'll pray. Lord God, we love you. We thank you so much for your church. We thank you that we have you to turn to for help. We thank you that you care about us. We thank you that you even bother listening to us, Lord. It doesn't surprise me that you listen to some of your older beloved saints that are even in this room, but God, but it blows my mind that you'd bother to waste your time listening to me. But I appreciate your love for me. And I ask of you with us tonight, we bring these prayer requests to you. We also bring these praises to you, Lord. We don't want to be just a needy people, but we want to come to you and say, God, thank you for what you've already done in our lives. I do ask you, Lord, that you would touch my friend, Brother Justin, Lord, would you help that situation, help him to get some relief and to get some quickly? And God, would you be with their family? Would you touch each of these prayer requests? Lord, it's in your name I pray. Amen. Brother Jeff, you got some music?
Blessed Jesus, all everybody stand. We do have a few young folks here. How about that? Oh, you're older, so they didn't go to, DBS. All right. Okay. All righty. Blessed Jesus, come. come to me, soothe my soul with songs of peace. As I look to you alone, fill me with your love. Blessed Jesus, come to me, soothe my soul with songs of peace. As I look to you alone, fill me with your love. Glorious, marvelous grace that rescued me. Holy, worthy is the Lamb who died for me. Mountains high or valleys low, you will never let me go. By your fountain let me drink, fill my thirsty soul. Glorious, marvelous grace that rescued me. Holy, worthy is the Lamb who died for me. Blessed Jesus, come to me as I fall down at your feet. Let me touch your nail-scarred hand, Jesus, I would see. Glorious, marvelous grace that rescued me. Holy, worthy the Lamb who died for me. Let's do that one more time. Glorious, marvelous grace that rescued me. Holy, worthy is the Lamb who died for me.
If you've got your Bible tonight, we're going to be in Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. We're going to talk about someone tonight who was an incredible warrior and judge. And someone I can see myself in. The neat thing about the Bible is as you read through it, there's so many different people we meet in the Bible. You want to say characters, but they're not characters like they're in a fictional movie, right? But there's so many different people we meet in the Bible. And there are some you think, wow, they're just so crazy. There's some you think they're just, you know, you can't get to the level of spirituality they have. And then there's some you think, I can just see myself in them. And when I read about Samson, I feel like I'm looking in a mirror. You know, he was strong. He's probably tall. Like the way you're snickering at me right now. But no, I do. I look at Samson, and it's I see some interesting qualities that he and I share. And again, they are not muscular in nature, but they are in that God looked at him from before he ever got here. Right? Before Samson ever got to this earth, he's already being looked after. He's already being taken care of. He's already has people playing in his life who are going to protect him and who are going to push him and propel him to somewhere that God has for him when he's just not even conceived yet, right? So when we start Judges chapter 13, it says, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. If you read through the entire Old Testament, it's just cycles. Right, they're up for a while, they choose to follow God, and then they get amnesia, and they forget, and they run away from God, and their lives are terrible for a while, and then they get tired of that, so they follow God again, and things start climbing back uphill, and then sure enough, they go, we're going to do things our way, and just like a ride at Six Flags, they start falling off the top, right? That's probably a bad joke. I think some people fell off one this week, so maybe we shouldn't talk about Six Flags, but anyway, it's true. That is their whole Old Testament is just cycles of the Israelites as they do that. And this is during a downtime for them. It's not an exciting time for them. And verse 2 says, "And there was a man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not. But thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." There's a lot to unpack just right there, right? I told you that Samson and I had some similar qualities. We don't know his mother's name, right? I don't know my father's name. So we've got some right off that was so funny. None of you orphans are going to laugh at that. That was awesome. That was good stuff. I've looked forward to that line all day long, and none of you laughed. Anyway, but truly, right out the gate, right? She's minding her own business. They want a family. Obviously, they want to have kids, and that's not something they're able to do. And I love that you don't find her as what you would in Disney, right? If this was a Hallmark movie, you would have found her in a garden somewhere praying, and it would have consumed her entire life going, oh, I just want a baby. I just want a baby child. I just want to be a mama. That's all I want to do. Girls, y'all have something weird inside of you. My mother, you'll understand why that's funny in a minute. My wife has wanted nothing but to be a mother her entire life. My mother has done nothing but try to not be a mother my entire life. That's another story for another day. Let's not put that on the internet. But anyway, it's true, right? But instead of that consuming her, she's just going about life, and an angel appears to her. And the reason I love that is because God does the same thing to you and I, right? You can spend your time looking for him and searching for him, and those are great things to do. But the reality is that God's going to explode into your life when it's his timing. Right, you can work so hard to have things work out like you think they should, but God is going to show up in his time and with his plan. And I love what Brother Snyder always says, is I've never had trouble trusting his plan, just his timing. Right, it seems like normally his ideas are the best. I just feel like they're often a decade or two late. And so, without a doubt, she's in that place. She wants this child, and just like God does, he just inserts himself into her life and says, hey, I've got great news. You're going to have a baby. And she's like, well, that's... She actually says nothing. She goes home and speaks to her husband, which is probably a good idea. If an angel comes to heaven to you from heaven and says, hey, you're going to have a baby, you should probably call your husband immediately. That's probably a really good next step. So she does that and says... Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. When I read that, I was like, he's ugly? The angels are ugly? So I read another version, and it says awesome, right? I think that's a good word for there. It says that someone came, and the only way I can describe him is he was awesome, right? And by the way, that's typically your experience when God comes into your life. It is indeed awesome. Says, but I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name, but he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. The child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. And it's amazing to me how, without doing anything right, Samson just shows up into a family. By the way, I won't bore you and make you read the rest of it, but the father actually gets involved and says, dude, who are you? And they say, what is our child's mission? Okay, he's going to be a Nazarite. That's awesome. What are you going to have him do? And the angel says, bro, you couldn't handle it. That's a CJ paraphrase. He says, don't even worry about what we're going to have him do. You just help him keep his word. Matter of fact, he actually says, you just help his mother keep what we're asking her to do, right? You just help her to not drink. Help her not to touch dead things. Help her to not cut. Y'all just focus on doing what I said for you to do, and then I'll tell him what to do when it's time. By the way, we could stop right there and say, God, would you just help me just to do the next thing you say to do? Because I don't know about you, but I like big pictures, right? If I'm going to get on the bus and we're going to go to somewhere, I want to know where we're going.
Me too.
You know what drives me nuts? Nothing ruins a date night for my wife and I faster than for us to get all gussied up, get in the car. Now, granted, every car we have is virtually without air conditioning, so if we have one, we probably rented it or borrowed it if it has air conditioning, but in all likelihood, it doesn't. So we get in the car, and I say to her, sweetheart, I've been looking forward to this date all day long, perhaps all week long, sometimes with our kids' schedules all month long, and I'm just so excited to be here with you, holding her hand. Where do you want to go eat, sweetheart? And she'll go, what sounds good to you? And I know right there the date's over. Pull it back in the garage. We'll skip the part where we scream at each other and tell each other how what lunatics we are. We'll just pull back in the garage. We'll save the gas, and we'll just let the date night be over because neither of us have a vision. We have a vision, but neither of us is willing to concede. And by the way, her answers are never helpful, right? Her answers are always like, well, I had Chick-fil-A for lunch. I don't care. I don't care. Her answers are, well, you know, the girls at work were talking about this really great new Thai restaurant over in Cartersville. Awesome. What's the name of it? We'll go there. Well, I don't want that. Then why are we talking about it? I don't care where you don't want to eat. I just want to know to which restaurant to drive this stupid automobile that's hot and miserable. And you look great, baby. Your hair's looking beautiful, perfect. But if you don't tell me where to eat, I'm going to drive into a tree at low speed. I'm not dying, right? This ain't good. Crazy. You know, just enough to tear a headlight up and go back home, especially while it's still on Uncle B's insurance. But listen, nothing ruins a date night faster than having no vision. So I can appreciate them saying, hey, why are we doing this? Why? What is his mission? Okay, he's going to keep the Nazarite vow. That's awesome. Why? What's he going to do? Keep the vow. Just put in the work. Just do what you need to do. That's like me going to the gym and asking the trainer. By the way, it's obviously rhetorical. I haven't been to a gym in years. I drove past one. And even that was exhausting. I have not been inside a gym in a decade plus. I honestly think that might be true. No, that's not, my dad built one about 5 years ago, and I took him lunch one time. So I've been in one gym in the last decade. I think that's pretty much it, and I did not work out.
I can relate to you.
Yes, amen. I appreciate that, brother. But listen, imagine that I'm working out with somebody, and I say, hey, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? To get strong, stupid. Yeah, but what muscle group? And he's going, just push the weight. You just push the weight off your chest and let me worry about that. And that's exactly what they're saying to him is you have enough on your plate just obeying God. Quit worrying about what the big plan is. Quit worrying about God's plan. You can't handle it. What movie is that? You can't handle the truth. Anyway, I don't watch sinner movies. Back in tub by Aunt Darlene's face that she's seen that one. no, I don't know what it is. But anyway, listen, God is saying to him, the angel rather is saying to him, you don't even have to worry about the big picture, dude. You just keep your word. You just keep this vow. You just honor God. And I love that Samson, again, I told you I see parallels in him. He didn't know his mother. I don't know my father. He was blessed with people who came before him, right? Before he was even conceived, God was putting pieces into place for his life. Before I was even thought of, arguably before my mother, no, maybe not. Sorry to say before my mother was thought of. But there was a place called Calvary Children's Home spotted over in Powder Springs, Smyrna at the time. And I'm thankful that just like Samson, God told Ben Turner, hey, build this children's home. And he didn't say, I could picture Ben Turner going, hey, well, why? And God didn't say, well, because CJ's going to come in 1986 and he's going to wreck things pretty early in life and he's going to be a handful. By the way, I went to a funeral this weekend, or last week rather, for Aunt Ruth Ann. One of the best experiences in my life. If you get to go to a funeral for someone who's 80 plus, and not only is the sanctuary full, but there's an overflow room that's also full, and there's, I think it was hundreds of people watching online, you've done something special with your life. You've done something very, very special with your life. And I'm thankful that Aunt Ruth Ann was one of those people, just like the angel that God sent before Samson, God sent Aunt Ruth Ann to the children's home. And Aunt Ruth Ann taught us a few things, and that's honestly where the thought of this came from, was I was sitting at her funeral, and I thought, I'm thankful that she taught me some things, right? And we'll get back to her in just a minute. But I also had the second part of this sermon when I got home, because I told you, our family's chaotic. Right, it's no secret. We come in from baseball, and we're already thinking about Sunday morning service. We get back from Sunday service, we're already thinking about, okay, what are we going to feed the kids this week for lunches? What are we going to do for dinners? We got to have a plan. What are we going to do? How are we going to get them all over the planet? We've got so many kids. It's unbelievable. I don't know where they came from, but I'm ready for them to move out. So if anyone has an empty room, like, just pick. We can assign you a gender. We can assign you an older kid that can drive the others around. I actually like to keep him because he works for me now. But the others will be driving soon, and you can have them if you'd like one. But anyway, that's stick them with your nephew. There you go. They'd probably love that. But we had an event last weekend, and we needed a cooler. And I went to get our cooler, and God said to me, you've got to work on this. And I was like, well, it's rolling. It's a cooler. What do we need to work on? And I opened that thing up, and I don't know which baseball game that sandwich was made for. But I can tell you right now that bologna, after about 2 weeks in the heat, is stagnant. And immediately I was like, Lord, you're right. We have got to work on this. And what he said to me, and it's been something true. It's my family, we just have to work on ending things better. Right? We've just got to work on ending things better, because we get home from baseball game, and we shove the cooler behind the house, and we go, until next time, my man, I'll see you then. If it even makes it that far, I actually think, and I'm not proud of this, but from that game I'm talking to you about, it's still in the back of Jackson's truck, and it has not yet been emptied. So whoever does, sometimes it's cheaper just to buy a new cooler, I'll be honest. Bleach is going up in price, and sometimes it's easier just to buy a new cooler. Throw that thing in the dumpster. So if you ever come here and there's a blue cooler in the, pointing the wrong way, in the dumpster out here, don't open it. Unless you like bologna, that's well done. I'm telling you, sometimes it's cheap. But truly, the Lord said, you've got to work on ending things better. You've got to work on ending things better. Imagine that you treated your vehicle like you treat your parents' vehicle. I remember when I borrowed Uncle Brian's car, it wasn't that often because my grades were usually so bad I wasn't allowed to go anywhere. But on the few occasions I did, when I brought that thing home, I got the cups out of it. Now listen, it's no secret. You had to get the cups out of it before you started too. But y'all don't tell Uncle Brian I said that. All right? That thing would get bad sometimes. But you'd bring that in. Darlene's looking at me like, for $20, I won't say a thing. Your secret's safe here. Anyway, I'll gladly pay it. But no, truly, I remember I would get back and I would clean that thing out. And I'd want to return it as best as I could. Imagine if I did that with my own vehicle. Because I can tell you how many times I back my work truck in and I go, whoo, this thing's ripe. Roll the windows up and we'll try again tomorrow. You know. Now listen, to be fair, he's not husky, but I'm husky. And when husky sweats, it ain't cute, right? And it sure don't smell good. So anyway, if I were to treat that vehicle like with someone else, if I would end well, right? Imagine that at the end of every day when it had filled up with gas, the next morning would be so much smoother if we would end well. But to end well, we've got to start well. And this is the thought I had at Ruthann's funeral. And I wanted to bring a prop, but it turns out I threw mine away. We don't own an ironing board at the Martin household anymore. And Amanda will not appreciate me telling you that. But anyway, we use our dryer. Sunday morning, we open it, throw it in there with a wet rag, and about 5 minutes, and you're. The other option is to just paste it across your body like this, and that also, that gets rid of all, you can't see any wrinkles, because there can't be wrinkles where it's stretched out to the max that fabric can actually take. But Aunt Ruthann, I remember when we were growing up at the children's home, this was in Smyrna, there's a lot of things I remember. First of all, the movies we were allowed to watch were few in nature. In fact, when I got there, there was one. We couldn't watch the most modern version of, not The Sandlot. What was it? I had it earlier now. I can't remember. But anyway, The Little Rascals. We couldn't watch the most modern one because those kids were smart alecks, and they didn't want that rubbing off on us. They didn't want that. They didn't want us getting those bad habits and to start talking disrespectful like they did. So we could only watch the black and white version from, I can only assume, the 20s, right? I'm aware that that's probably not the actual number. But this was an old school version of the black and white Little Rascals that we were like, that was our movie. If you did a movie night on Tuesday night, black and white Little Rascals. If you did a movie night on Friday night, black and white Little Rascals. If you just had to watch something on Sunday morning because you were ready to go to church and you were waiting on everybody else, especially all those girls who were never ready on time anyway, and you just needed something to watch until you were ready to go. It was not the Black and White Little Rascals. You don't watch church TV on Sunday morning, you disrespectful little brats. Anyway, sorry, PTSD. But no, I'm thankful that they protected us, right, and that they went out of their way because they knew that a great church service Sunday morning didn't start at 11 o'clock. A great Sunday school lesson didn't start at 10 a.m. because you weren't going to come in here and just all of a sudden be ready. I remember Saturday nights, the screech of that ironing board, boom, and she'd plug that thing in and have that sitting on there, and you wanted to get early in the lineup because that ironing board would get hot. If you were like the 11th or 12th person to iron your clothes that night, you were almost guaranteed to burn yourself. And I remember we would stand in line and we would all iron. I'm talking about, I was 7 years old when I got to Calvary Children's Home. 7 years old, I remember I'd put my shirt up there and I'd iron at it. And then I'd put the iron back down and go down the hallway, and Aunt Ruth Ann would actually iron my shirt for me and hang it up and put it in my closet. And on Sunday morning, you got up and your clothes were pressed and they were hanging and they were ready for you. And I remember Uncle Ben, this wasn't just Sunday morning. This was every morning. And I hope you don't mind going down a little nostalgia highway with me tonight. I remember Uncle Ben would come in and flip those lights, and he whistled. Don't trust anybody who whistles, unless it's Uncle Ben. He seemed to be okay. Everyone else who whistles is a creep. But anyway, I remember Uncle Ben would walk through he'd flip that light on. Oh, sorry, Brother Jeff. Anyway, he'd flip that light on, and he'd be whistling and say, "Good morning, boys. It's a great day." And he had this stuff that looked like anthrax. He would walk through your room, and he'd put this powder on the carpet, and you just knew. Like, it wasn't a discussion. You just knew that you were going to get up, you were going to brush your teeth, you were going to make your bed, and then you were going to get up, and you were going to vacuum the anthrax out of the floor every single morning, right? You get that powder up, and by the time you went to school, your bed's made. You know, everything's tidied up. Your carpet's freshly, you know, vacuumed. And we own a vacuum. I know that because my wife doesn't know how to empty it out. I'm an expert at emptying it out. But I remember those are my memories, and I'm thankful that just like Samson, right, they knew that if things are going to go well, you don't start at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning and say, "We're going to have a great church service today." You don't walk into 10 a.m. Sunday school and go, "Okay, I'm here, now bless me." Right? I think it starts on Saturday night going, "God, I'm going to church in the morning. Would you just go ahead and help me to start quieting some of the other things that are in my mind? God, I'm going to go ahead and instead of waiting until tomorrow morning, I'm going to go ahead and crack this Bible up tonight and say, God, would you go ahead and start working on my mind? God, would you go ahead and start tendering my heart? God, would you go ahead and start preparing me for something that I'm going to do tomorrow? Because, God, I don't want to waste my life. I only have so many days to live. Right, I only have so many years to live, and I'm 39, so I'd like to think I have a lot of them left. But at 39, there's also a lot of them behind me, probably more than are ahead of me, which is a bad thought. It makes me want to go buy a red Corvette, but that's neither here nor there. So, but truly, we have to start Saturday night and go, God, would you begin to do something with me? By the way, you don't just walk into being a great wife. You don't just walk into being a great husband either. You start now saying, God, would you go ahead and start teaching me some things right now? I've had 4 kids, and none of them came with a manual, right? None of them. None of them came with a book that says, hey, she likes ballerinas, and he likes redneck trucks, and he's going to get arrested 3 times, so you need to save some money for bail. I don't know which one that is. Neither do you, right? Because we didn't get a manual. Right? There was none of these things. We just have to figure them out. So you know what happens? You need to start right now going, God, one day I want to be a godly mother. So I need to start teaching myself some things today so that I can teach them to my kids. Lord, I want to have a life where, by the time my children get here, by the time my grandkids get here, maybe in this room you're saying by the time my next great-grandkid gets here, I want to be a more godly version of myself. I want to be able to help that grandkid better than I could the first kid. I want to be able to be even more of a light as our years get fewer, right? And by the way, every day that you get to wake up, you have one fewer to live, right? None of us are promised tomorrow. I could name 10 people who have sat in this room who I fully expected to still be alive, if not still in this church, right? I could name 10 without even thinking I could name them. And so we're not promised tomorrow. So if we want to do anything great with our life, it has to start right now.
Amen.
Yesterday would have been better, but today would be just fine for us to say, God, I don't have to know the big picture you have for me, but God, I know you don't want me putting that in my body, so I'm just going to not. Even if I've already started and I like it, God, I'm just going to ask you to help me to not do that anymore. Because I know that you're stronger than addiction. I know that you're stronger than the desire I have for these things. I know that you're stronger than the excitement that that brings into my life. God, I know that you have more for me than what that provides. So, God, I'm just going to ask you to take a hold of this thing. Right? God, I'm just going to ask you to be there for me. And God, let's just go ahead and fix this thing. I told you I see myself in Samson in a lot of ways, not just our you know, incredible muscular physique, but I also see that Samson failed, right? I see that Samson gave it a go and had a good run of things, and then things fell apart for him. And when we meet Samson at the end of his life, right, that's where he's the most popular. By the way, if you start reading at the beginning of Sam's life, right, at the beginning of chapter 13, by the time you get about halfway through the second or third chapter from there, you'll find yourself going, were there two Samsons? I'm not kidding. I remember the first time I read through this thinking, there must be a second Samson that I just, because this doesn't line up with what I remember, right? I remember, hey there, Delilah, this is your ex-boyfriend Samson, all right, little Tim Hawkins for you if you know it. And so I remember that version of, you know, and I knew he was strong. I knew he did some great things. But he's married back here, and I haven't read about Delilah yet. So I remember the first time reading through this literally going, huh, maybe there's two. Maybe there's two. Maybe I forgot about one. Maybe I just have the wrong, maybe Samson's name is actually Samuel, and I'm just thinking maybe I've got my stories mixed up, right? Because you'll read through it and you'll go, huh, we don't talk about that so much. Oh, I don't remember Uncle Snyder ever talking about the harlot in Samson's life, right? And we ain't going into that tonight. I ain't going to have that on my hands. But I'm telling you, if you read through there, there are some interesting things, and things really fell apart for Samson. And I'm thankful that we have a God who meets him at the end of his life. His eyes have been plucked out, right? He's been captured. This strong man, this Herculean man that we know, is bound up by strings, and he's tied up between a couple pillars, and he says, God, would you help me one last time? Would you help me one last time? And you know what that tells me? If you can have your eyes plucked out by the enemy, and your life is over, everything you're known for is gone, and you can still reach out to God, and God say, yeah, don't eat too much before you eat. Uncle Brian always says, don't eat before you preach. Now I know why. I just burped, and I apologize. That was rude. That's why no one's sitting right here. I'm not getting in that spit zone. But anyway, I'm thankful for God who says, you can never wreck things beyond what I can repair. That no matter what you've done, no matter what you've thought about doing, no matter where you are, no matter where you've been, none of that matters. You know, and again, I tell you, if I was God, I'm going, dude, I've hooked you up from birth. Before your birth, I sent people to take care of you. Right? You had it made. All you had to do was listen. You had about three rules that you had to follow. And you couldn't pull that off. You couldn't pull that. Three rules. But I'm thankful that God is God and CJ's not. Because when Samson reached out to him at the end of his life and said, God, can we do this one more time? Can we just be strong together one more time? The Bible says his hair had begun to grow again. And by the way, I'm trying to grow my hair out right now. I actually, I'm trying to grow a YouTube channel. I'm so embarrassed to say that out loud. And I told Amanda, so I'm not cutting my hair until I'm either sponsored by Racetrack or I'm monetized on YouTube. And so far, neither of those are within a light year of happening. So I may have a full-blown mullet before this is over with. But I can tell you from my experience, it takes some time to grow your hair out, right? It takes some time. And by the way, y'all can all quit judging my hair now. When Amanda went to work this morning, she evidently took with her the hairspray and the hairbrush, so I had nothing to work with this afternoon. But I know from personal, it takes some time to grow your hair out. You know what that means? See what that says to me? That means that Samson had been miserable for a while, right? That means that there's an exceptional span of time between him telling Delilah, hey, here's the secret. Here's the secret. And by the way, what a clown, respectfully, What a client. You told her the wrong answers, and she acted out on those, and she begged you for the right answer, and you're like, okay, here it is. I'm sure you're not going to do that. But isn't that just like you and I? Isn't that just like you and I? Now, I see this sin took down everybody else. I know my grandfather died of cancer from smoking cigarettes, but I'm sure I can smoke cigarettes and nothing's going to happen. And you and I say that like it's ignorant, but I see young people smoking cigarettes. Yep. I do. I see young people vaping. I've got a friend of a friend who has zero teeth left in his face because he was vaping and the vape exploded in his mouth and it blew all the teeth out of his face. Right? That's a 100% true story. And his kids vape. You know what I mean? It's amazing. It's like, you know, we see, well, I know you got burned, but I'm going to play with this fire and it's going to be okay because, you know, I'm different. I'm special. I told you there's a lot about Samson that I see myself in. I know this sin took down my forefathers, but I can flirt with it. It'll be okay. It's not that big of a deal. And Satan's sitting there going, yes, please waste your usefulness. Please give me your strength. Please give your secrets to someone who wants to do nothing but destroy you. Please do that. Let's do, yeah, it's, you can totally get away with this. Right? And it's a sad truth that you and I do those things. You and I do those things and we think, oh, I'm special. You know, I can get away with it just one time. And the next thing you know, you've wrecked your life. Next thing you know, things are so far off the rails that you find yourself going, God, can we just end well? And those are two thoughts tonight. I don't know where you are in this thing, right? Maybe you're early in life and you say, CJ, I'm 20, I'm 15, I'm whatever teen. I just want to start well. I just want to start well. Maybe you're closer to the end of your life and you say, I want to end well, right? I didn't mean to look at you, Brother Ceylon. You've got many years left. That was you've got so much time left ahead of you. You're not even at your midlife crisis yet. You're good to go. But I want to be someone who my family says there were seasons where he did some really stupid things, right? There were times in his life where he made some doozies of a decision. But when that happened, he turned to God and said, God, would you use me one more time? God, would you use me one more time? And the Bible actually says that in his death, he killed more people than he did in his life. Right, as he tore those two columns down, it said that the Bible literally says that he killed more people in that instant than he was able to. And keep in mind, he killed 1,000 people at one time with the jawbone of a donkey. That's a bad dude, by the way. I told you, I see myself in him very much. But I'm just thankful that no matter where you are, God has a plan for you. If you're just getting started out, there's nothing better you could do for your future self than to fall in love with the stories in the Bible. Than to say, God, would you teach me something today? I'm not going to become the world's best historical theologian tonight, but I can learn something tonight. And then I can learn something tomorrow. And then I can learn something the day after that. So God, would you begin this pattern of my life of just helping me to get to know you better and better? Would you help me to get to trust you a little more? Would you help me to learn what it sounds like when you say, hey, don't go that way? Would you help me to learn what it sounds like when you say you should go that way? Because if we don't learn to shoot the pistol with him, you think they're ever going to give us the huge Gatling guns? Right? No, you start with the BB gun. You know, you shoot some things. I never shot anything, but I shot at a lot of things. My kids actually shoot squirrels off my back porch. I shouldn't tell people that. But anyway, they're the safest things out there because these kids couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. But anyway, we do shoot at squirrels off our back porch. It's fun. I had some boys from the home over one time, and I forgot the guns were out. And I looked out there, and one of them was shooting the other. And I was like, oh, this is going to be hard to explain to Aunt Sherry. This is going to be an enormous problem. And it was. But anyway, I'm thankful that we have a God who says, no matter where you are, I have a plan for you. No matter where you are, I have a relationship I want to restore with you. He desires us. Isn't that wild? Isn't that why? It's not shocking that he puts up with me. For crying out loud, his son died for me. He might as well put up with me. But that he desires me. He wants to be near me. Right? Have you ever had that friend who lights up when you walk in the lunchroom? Like, hey, come over here. I've got a seat for you. I've been saving this seat hoping you would come here today. That's God in your life. That's God in your life. Every morning you wake up and God goes, hey, I'm so excited to see you. Now, you'll be happy to know he's not walking through your room spreading dust on the floor because he's not going to make you vacuum. By the way, that might have been child, you know, labor laws. I don't know. We need to talk about that. But anyway, I'm thankful that we have a God who says, I have something so exciting for you, but it's just too big for me to tell you what it is today. Today, you just listen to what I said to do. Today, just don't do the things that you know are stupid. Today, just don't do the things that you know are unhealthy. Today, just don't do the things that you might want to do, but that I've told you not to do. And then tomorrow, maybe I'll reveal part of my plan to you. And my prayer is that we will be a group of people, a church of believers, who say, God, I want to do something great with my life. And I know that it's not going to start in 10 years. It's not going to start in 5 years. It's not going to start in 1 year. I'm going to ask you tonight, would you go home and just say, God, would you just teach me a little something? Pick a Bible story and say, God, I'm just going to read through this story. Would you just tell me something about it? Would you just help me to find something this I've never seen before? And you'll be shocked at how quickly he does that for you. You'll be absolutely shocked at how much he wants to show himself to you. You'll be shocked at how much he desires to be in your life. Because he really does. He really does have that desire. And so let's do that tonight. Sunday morning, Uncle Brian preached. And who could tell me what chapter he used? It was Psalm. Yeah, the first Psalm. I don't know why you're holding up four fingers. It was not four. It was one. The first Psalm, right? And I'm going to tell you, it got me. I told him, I said, I don't know if anyone else got anything out of that. Probably not. It wasn't that great. I said, but that got me. And then I told him the truth. Dude, that was powerful. That was absolutely powerful. And this week, I've had that in my heart all week. I've not memorized the entire chapter yet, even though it's only seven verses. When you're ADD, seven is a lot of verses. But I am thankful that this week God had an opportunity to breathe into my life some word of God. And because he found me paying attention, right, he found me present, he found me with my ears open, and thank God my kid's gone. I mean, I'm sorry, some of the distractions in my life not as present as they often are. Because of that, God found soil that he could put something in, right, and he could sprinkle a verse, and that verse has been a gift to me. Hopefully tonight's been a gift to you. At least three times a week you go somewhere where someone is going to you, hey, I have something for you. I have food for you. I have some resources for you. I have some discipline for you. I have something I'm trying to help you with. And you and I go around here going, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Let's be a group of people who say, God, I'm just going to turn to you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for our church. We thank you that you do love us and that you do have a plan for us. God, I ask you, Lord, despite what I am, Lord, I ask you to do something through our church tonight, and I thank you for our church. In your name I pray. Amen.